Our Old Testament lesson can be found at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, in your Pew Bible, page 322. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have received him from being king. I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Oh, I have come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. It's another story of an unlikely person who was chosen by God to through whom a miraculous act happens, just like David and so many others in Scripture. In Fired Up this week, or through the season of Lent, we have been using the devotional guide from the Presbyterians Today magazine that some of you have used for your Lenten devotionals. And they are first-person accounts. The devotional writers have written as if they were the different characters in the Bible observing what was going on as Jesus was preaching and teaching and doing his miracles. And so I have been inspired a bit by that. So after I read the gospel lesson, I will preach in the voice of a first-person voice of the blind man who was healed. So we'll see how this goes, how the inspiration caught me. But that's what you will be hearing this morning. So I invite you to hear our gospel lesson, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As he walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. A man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It is your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Where does one begin? At the beginning, I suppose. You can't tell by looking at me now, but I was born blind. It's true, I know, but it's hard to believe, but I was born blind from birth. That's not easy for a family, especially in those days. My parents had to deal with the stigma of having a cursed child. People would wonder why and who was to blame. God didn't just let things like this happen. Someone had to have done something terrible to bear the curse of blindness. Life was hard. In my world, I would never be able to earn a living, to get married, or to have children and carry on the family name. I would always be a beggar. I would always be a burden on my family and a constant reminder of their sins or mine. People can be so cruel when they're faced with something they don't understand. My parents lost friends they had known for years. My father lost business because people judged our family so harshly. Our extended family limited contact with us because they all had to bear the shame of an obvious sinner among them. Blindness itself can be so isolating, it's downright suffocating when people avoid all contact and, worse, treat you with outright contempt. That's what made the day so long ago so striking. That day I met the Son of Man began like so many others. There I was, minding my own business, when I heard some disciples ask their rabbi a familiar question: who sinned, this man or his parents? Typical, I thought. Go ahead, judge me. But the rabbi's answer was anything but typical. He said, neither sinned, not me nor my parents. And as a matter of fact, he said, I was blind so that God's glory could be seen. About that time he said that, I felt some mud on my face, and he was telling me to go wash in the pool. That day, everything changed. He said he was the light of the world, and after washing my eyes in the pool, I knew for the first time what light was. For the first time in my life, I could see. The shame of people's judgment was washed away. I could see the rabbi and his disciples, and I could see he was the light of the world, full of healing and hope for people like me. I believed in him and worshiped him, this rabbi who helped me see truth. Of course, nothing is as easy as it seems. I was great. I could see. I experienced a miracle. But I soon learned not everyone can handle miracles. My parents were overjoyed for my healing until the religious leaders paid them a visit. The Pharisees wanted to know how all of this happened. They interrogated and intimidated my parents until they finally told the Pharisees to come talk to me directly if they wanted to know the answers. So here they came, again, for the second time, asking me how it happened, like I could explain it. It was almost comical watching them try to wrap their heads around the fact that I was blind, but now I could see. It simply didn't fit their worldview. Some said my sight was not valid because Jesus healed me on the Sabbath, and no one could do miracles if they were a sinner as bad as that. Others said Jesus couldn't have healed me if he were a sinner, even if it happened on the Sabbath. Stop to think about that for a second. The people who were supposed to be the most righteous people in our community were arguing over whether or not my new sight was a blessing or a curse. I can't win. If I'm blind, it's because of sin. If I see, it's because of sin. Does that make any sense to anyone? I have come to understand that those religious leaders needed the status quo more than they needed miracles. The religious leaders had to know who was sinful and who wasn't so their world would be easy to navigate. They would know how to treat people accordingly. They didn't have to see us lowly sinners or treat us with any respect or deference. They didn't have to care about me or the others who lived on the streets begging for handouts. They had to be able to justify their contempt or maybe their general lack of concern. So they found a way to keep me in the sinner category, and they put Jesus there too. But I agree with Jesus. They were the ones who were really blind. They see what they wanted to see. They hold only to what they can explain, but God is bigger than that. They could not see me, but Jesus did. They could not see past an imaginary sin they had projected onto me and my parents, but Jesus did. He saw me as a child of God, a miracle waiting to happen. I knew then and there I would follow wherever he went. I would rather sin like Jesus did than be righteous like those religious leaders. Time and again, I witnessed how Jesus used people like me to demonstrate God's power. Whether Jesus saw sinners who needed forgiveness, or people who needed healing, or people who were tormented by demons, Jesus didn't ever turn away. He spoke to Romans, demoniacs, Samaritans, tax collectors, unclean men and women, and even religious leaders. He loved people. He welcomed people. He didn't see the categories we were living in. He saw us. He saw our need. He had compassion on us and included us in the great story of faith. And through us, God was glorified. Some Pharisees even came around and saw the light and believed and followed Jesus. We all heard the good news. We were all of value. We all could live meaningful lives. We all had a place in the crowd and around his table. He made our lives whole and enables us to see the value in ourselves and others. Jesus enables me to see, not just with my eyes, but with all that I am. When you have been invisible, the last thing you want to do is make someone else feel the same way. May all of us who follow Jesus, who have been seen, who have been loved and healed and welcomed, may all of us share the hope of this miracle by seeing and loving and welcoming others, not for our own glory, but so God will be glorified and others will come to see and believe. Amen. Let's pray. Seeing God, help us to open our eyes and our hearts to those we meet on our way. Help us to glorify your name through kindness and grace. Amen.